Blackow and Natalie Ball about Native art, sisterhood, and the legacy of Native identity. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
KABU Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the We Real Cool film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month is A Streetcar Named Desire, showing Thursday, February 18th at 7 p.m. Winner of 5 Academy Awards and considered the first dramatic jazz score of a film, 1951's A Streetcar Named Desire remains a landmark which forced the medium into a new, raw, emotional, mature kind of expression. Again, that's A Streetcar Named Desire, Thursday, February 18th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, February 23rd, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Our guest today is John Kiriakou. Most listeners know that name well. We have followed his role in as a whistleblower and then his life as a prisoner and his dispatches from the penitentiary where he was being held. Kiriakou is a former CIA, a former agency case officer. He spent 30 months in jail for revealing information about U.S. government torture practices. And what we're going to talk about is Obama's unique opportunity at the moment to do the right thing and to respond to the more than 150,000 people who have written, communicated, left messages asking the president to pardon Jeffrey Sterling, who is in prison as a part of this complicated and disgraceful story. By pardoning Sterling, the president could ensure that his legacy is not one of simply waging war on whistleblowers, but of actually recognizing the incredibly important role that they have in a democracy. I would like to say what an important role that whistleblowers play in keeping, in preserving freedom. And they do to the extent that they can in this current climate, where we have in a capitalistic form of government. When you have capitalism as your form of government, you don't have freedom. So, having become a capitalist government. We no longer have that option. We once were, of course, a democracy. I don't think many people have realized that there's been a transformation. And it goes hand in hand with our slide to become a third world nation, which we are, in fact, right now, thanks to the massive gap in wealth. So we'll be speaking with John Kiriakou in just a moment. We've got a few headlines. First, I'd just like to remind our listeners that there's a big rally in Salem today for people in Portland who have been affected by the poisons in the air. And were it not for moss, a lot of people would be very even sicker than they are now, and more people would be sick into the future. Thanks, moss. Good job. And, of course, the researchers who found that, one of whom thought it was not important to mention the fact that they were finding cadmium and arsenic and other chemicals in the air. And This, of course, would be more of a symptom of a larger cause underlying this. And so that said, moving right along, I do want to remind listeners that Leonard Jack is still there, sitting out there in Celilo Village with her curtains drawn, darkened room, and terrified of the other 60 or so people who live in the village and who are, in fact, standing in the way of the Celilo YM being officially recognized. The Celilo YM, oddly enough, Celilo, Celilo Village, Celilo Falls, Celilo History and Legacy, they've been excluded from playing the role that is their legacy. They are excluded from their traditional and customary fishing sites. And many people say, well, there's only 20 of them left, so why bother? But, well, okay, if you have Yakima, Umatilla, and Warm Springs people also living in the village, and there's 60 people in the village, you've got, what, three tribes, 60 people? Do the math! 20 each. As far as a conservative guess. So, no, I don't think that there are too few Celilo YM left for them to be recognized. And indeed, what is the lower limit when they've all actually fallen victim to genocide? Is that when we decide there's too few members of a tribe for official recognition? Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the direction that we're heading. There are things that you can do. This being advocacy radio to a certain extent, my attempts to talk to other people in the village have endangered Lana and angered other people who live up there. It's very difficult with only 60 people. Word gets around very, very fast in small places like Celilo Village. And the social dynamics governing people's actions are perhaps more evident. They certainly stand out against a background of river and mountain, and not much. And we're waiting right now to speak with John Kiriakou. We will get back to more on Leonard Jack at a later date, but I do want to say something about the nature of advocacy radio and why, in this case, it is not appropriate to speak to both sides. The silence on the opposite side speaks volumes. We have a lot of other, President Obama's final futile last-ditch effort to close Guantanamo right at a moment when Congress is at its stupidest and hence its most dangerous. It's in play, and we'll see what happens. Protesters today are, of course, preparing to assemble in more than 30 cities to lash out at the FBI for obtaining a court order that requires Apple to make it easier to unlock an encrypted iPhone used by a gunman and the December shooting in San Bernardino. This opens the floodgates. Should the FBI gain access to this phone, it opens the floodgates for all kinds of malfeasance on the part of the feds. That said, it's a good moment to bring on and introduce John Kiriakou. John, welcome back to the KBOO airwaves. I think this is our first conversation since your 30 months inside.
Thanks for having me. I think this is our first conversation. I'm glad to be home.
Welcome. And welcome indeed. And yet Jeffrey Sterling is still incarcerated. He is not doing well, as I understand. Can you fill us in just a little bit on why is Jeffrey, for the listeners who aren't familiar with the story or perhaps are not up to speed on it, fill us in a little bit on Jeffrey's situation.
Sure. Jeffrey Sterling is a former CIA case officer, operations officer, fluent in Farsi and an expert on Iranian issues, Iranian politics. He is an African-American, and he was scheduled to do an overseas tour for the CIA in Germany. Just before he left for Germany, his boss went up to him and said, "We decided not to send you to Germany because we think that you'll stick out because you're a black man speaking Farsi." And Jeffrey responded, "When did you realize I was black?" So what they decided to do was to send him instead to a post somewhere in Africa. Well, the person that they had gotten to send to Germany in his place ended up resigning from the agency, and then they said, "We're going to send you to Germany instead." He said, "My things have already been shipped to Africa." They said, "Either go to Germany or resign." One thing led to the other, and he resigned. So Jeffrey filed a racial discrimination suit against the CIA, arguing that he could never get ahead in the CIA, despite the fact that he was an expert on Iran and spoke Farsi because he was a black man. The agency never argued the efficacy of the case. They went before the judge in the Eastern District of Virginia, called the Espionage Court, where the CIA never, ever loses a case. And they said, "Please dismiss this case with prejudice, because if we are forced to defend ourselves, we'll have to reveal classified information." And the judge dismissed the case. There was a reporter at the same time from the New York Times, James Risen, a two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter, who was covering this racial discrimination case. Now, over the course of several years, Risen and Jeffrey spoke on the phone 52 times. Jeffrey has always maintained they were talking about his case. In the meantime, Risen wrote a book called State of War, in which he devotes a chapter to a botched CIA operation to infiltrate the Iranian nuclear program. The agency insisted that Jeffrey was the source of that chapter. Now, no New York Times reporter, let alone a two-time Pulitzer Prize winner, is going to have one single source for an article or for a chapter in a book. Usually they have two dozen sources. But the agency argued that Jeffrey was the source of that chapter. He always denied that he was. He said that he had spoken regularly with Risen, but they only spoke about his case. Well, the CIA asked the Justice Department to indict Jeffrey, and they did, and they charged him with 7 counts of espionage and 2 counts of theft of government property, the theft of the government property being Jeffrey carried out the information in his head when he left the CIA. So he maintained his innocence, and, you know, everybody else takes a plea just to make this case go away. But he said, "By God, as soon as I get in front of a jury, they're going to realize how ridiculous that the charges are, and they're going to acquit me." So the case dragged on for a ridiculous 10 years. And late last year, Jeffrey was found guilty on all charges. What the government did in this case is twofold. They did something called a charge stacking, in which they don't charge you just with one crime. They charge you with a half a dozen, in Jeffrey's case, 9 crimes. In other cases, 12 crimes or 20 crimes, all felonies. And then they offer to drop all of them but one if you take a plea. Well, Jeffrey said that he would not take a plea because he hadn't done anything wrong, and he went to trial. ProPublica, the investigative journalism website, recently did a study in which they found that the Justice Department wins 98.2% of its cases, almost all of which are a result of plea bargains, that defendants almost never win. Well, charge stacking is one thing. What really did Jeffrey in was another tactic called venue shopping. What they did was, Jeffrey was a resident of St. Louis, Missouri, and was working remotely for a company in New York. So St. Louis, Missouri is the Eastern District of Missouri. New York City is the Southern District of New York. He was accused of having cooperated with Jim Risen. Risen lives in Maryland, which is the Southern District of Maryland, and works in Washington, D.C., which is the Federal District of the District of Columbia. But what the government did was they charged Jeffrey in the Eastern District of Virginia, despite the fact that he was never accused of having committed a crime in the Eastern District of Virginia. But in the Eastern District of Virginia, no national security defendant has ever won And so that's why it's called the Espionage Court.
We have only about a minute left. What the question that I know everybody wants to know is, why did they have it in for Jeffrey to such an extreme degree?
Yes, because Jeffrey reported on evidence of waste, fraud, abuse, and illegality that he had witnessed at the CIA through the chain of command at the CIA and then to the Oversight Committee on Capitol Hill, to the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Even though that's what they teach you to do if you see evidence of waste, fraud, and abuse, they don't like it.
And even though we have a president now who says that he wants whistleblowers to step forward, that whistleblowers will be protected. There's a big difference, too, between a private sector whistleblower and a government whistleblower. I can't tell you how great it is to hear your voice. We want to hear a lot more from you. If you could join us again next week, we'd be delighted to have you back. Want to hear your story as well and see and also follow what is going to happen. There really is. Obama has no other option in this case but to free Jeffrey Sterling, because it is so
agreed
beyond all reason. And humanity. And Jeffrey Sterling is not doing at all well where he is at the moment. Thank you so much, John. We so appreciate having you back on the KBOO Airways. This has been Cascadia for Tuesday, February 23rd. Janet Anderson engineered the show for today. Thanks for that, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor War Against the People, Israel, the Palestinians.